Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
The Dateable podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Dateable, a show all about modern dating. Our primary goal on the show is to get to the bottom of why people do the things they do and why people say the things that they say, including yourself. I've got my lovely co-host with me, Julie. How are you?
Oh, hey. This episode's all about communication, which is the core of it, right? The crux of everything with why people do and say the things that they do. Oftentimes, you don't know until you ask. That has been a hard lesson to learn.
I cannot count how many people I know as adults who are actually good at communicating. I really can't. On my 10 fingers
in,
right now.
Yeah, one in two. Obviously.
Ish. I'm still getting there, but my parents, definitely not great communicators.
I think the two of us have made huge strides, because I do think communication is you have to really put a lot of work into it, and it's not going to just happen overnight. I think I was really bad at communication for a long time. And I think a lot of people like me think because we're extroverted and we talk all the time, we're good at communication. But that is not always
not the case.
Just because you're good at talking doesn't mean that you're good at communicating. And I'm always at awe, like, why don't we learn this growing up as a skill? Like, we learn about communication, like, in terms of, like, advertising
media,
and persuasion, but not communicating with, like, each other. Like, why?
Yeah, I kind of think back to when I was in third grade and I had a fight with my best friend, Suk Young, that was her name. And nobody could help me figure it out, like how to get in her good graces, how to become friends with her again. My teachers couldn't figure it out. I just cried every day. She would ignore me. And I don't even remember why we were fighting in the first place. But I wish, instead of learning all the other shit that we learned in third grade, which I don't remember what we were learning, right. I wish someone sat me down and was like, this is how you talk to your best friend when you have a conflict.
I think I was just so conflict avoidant for so many years because I equated conflict to ending something. Like if we had conflict, everything was going to end. It actually took me, I think Dr. Alexandra Solomon, we had her, what was it, season 7, like Marriage 101, we had her on. And I remember her saying something that has stuck with me is like conflict is inevitable in a relationship because you're thinking one way and someone else is thinking a different way. You're not going to think the exact same way. Therefore, conflict is going to happen. And it doesn't need to be a fight. It doesn't need to be drama. It could be a conversation. And I think for me, that was like something that was just like, it was a definite aha moment, because I think growing up, I didn't see that type of communication.
And conflict is just a terrible word. It just sounds a little bit aggressive. If we said challenge, it might be a different way of looking at it. Evolving your relationship may be a way to look at it. I have the same thought as you, Julie. I feel like conflict means fight and fight means end of something. And I don't want to rock the boat. I wish just things would just stay the way they are and I don't need to address my needs and I don't need to address my partner's needs. But everything eventually explodes. That's a universal truth. If you don't communicate your needs, if you don't communicate in general, someone explodes and it never ends well.
I think the best compliment I've ever gotten to date, though, was that with my ex, like that I've mentioned on this podcast, like when we first dated, I was definitely conflict avoidant. Like I didn't want to say anything to rock the boat. I made his needs were more important than my needs. And then when we revisited this relationship over the pandemic, I mean, this is like, what, 5 years of dateable later, he's like, oh my God, you're like a totally different person. But like, in a good way. Like he like was like, I like that you're just being so much more direct and not like hiding it. And I think that has given me permission now in my new relationship too, to just be very proactive with communication and not be afraid that it's going to like ruin things, you know? Because at the end of the day, you need to be able to, like, I think communication to me is like one of the top thing needs I have in a relationship. And if I can't communicate with someone, I need to know that.
And I got to give major props to Julie, because Julie has been the one who has helped me become more direct in my communication too. Julie in recent years has, before we start recording, she's multiple times she's been like, UA, something I just want to get off my chest. Let's just talk about it, address it now. And in the beginning, admittedly, it was scary because I'm like, oh, this is a confrontation. What did I do wrong? Are we having a fight? But the way Julie communicates is very direct. Here's what I saw. This is what happened. This is how it made me feel. Can we talk about why this is making me feel this way? And I've really appreciated that kind of direct communication, because I'm glad it takes me out of my comfort zone, that it makes me uncomfortable. It should make me uncomfortable because it's forcing me to change and forcing me to address the situation. And I have to give major props to Julie. If that's how she speaks to her partners, I can see that there's just really no guessing with Julie. Like, you know, she'll tell you how she truly feels so that you never feel like you're in the dark. And that I think that's what makes a really valuable partner.
I really appreciate hearing that. That is like maybe now the new best thing I've ever heard. But I think our relationship earlier, even our relationship in the first couple of years, both of us like skirted around things. And I think
for sure
you have definitely become more direct as well. I see it with you and your partner, but also you and I as partners too. I love that our partners will always know that they have a second partner to deal with.
This partnership is different because we are friends first and foremost, and then we became business partners. And confronting your friends is not a thing that I'm accustomed to. I've never confronted a friend or sat a friend down to talk about something. Certainly, I've had those feelings, but never got them out in the open. So I really appreciate that I've progressed to this point.
I think there is something with friends, though, that you like, there's something that feels different than significant others about bringing stuff up. And I actually read that book, Big Friendship, by the co-hosts that do Call Your Girlfriend.
Oh.
And they're definitely in a more of a similar boat than you and I, because they're like business partners and friends. Mm. So they went to therapy together. Like they talk about the two of them in therapy together.
That's a great idea.
And society tells you wouldn't do that with friends.
Right.
But I have ended friendships with people before. Like I had a friend, I was in her wedding and we don't talk anymore. And that's kind of sad, actually. And like,
that is,
you know, it's like, it's on one side. It's like, sometimes it's inevitable. It's kind of like a breakup. Sometimes people will just grow apart and it is what it is, but we didn't try. We didn't try to make it work. I'm the one that shut down. Like I'll admit it. Like I totally shut down with it. And that sucks. Like looking back on it, that really sucks. And I don't ever want to do that with you or romantic partners or any of my friends again.
I 1,000% agree with that. So other than our podcast, you know, my other favorite podcast is called Unfuck Your Brain.
With Cara, we need to get her on.
Lauren Lowenthal. I can't say her last name, but she had a whole episode about toxic people in your life. And the way she phrased it was this. She said, there are no toxic people in your life. You make them toxic in your mind.
Ooh.
So if you find that you... like someone makes you feel a certain way that's negative or gets you riled up, spend more time with them to work through that as opposed to just labeling them as toxic. It's the easiest thing to do. It's, you know, we hear it on all those like Instagram influencers always like, get rid of toxic people in your life. Mm-hmm. Just cancel them. It's not like that. People can't be canceled. And no. I totally agree with her. People aren't toxic. You make them toxic in your mind.
Or at least prove out your point. Like, right. You gotta at least try to have the conversations. And then if they don't want to do it, that's another story. But if you're not trying, like how, I don't know. I was like talking to a friend the other night about this, about like someone that they like care deeply on. And they're like, he never seems to be in a relationship because as soon as it gets difficult, he bolts. Mm. And I think a lot of us do that, especially yes. with app culture. It's like, oh, there's someone else around the corner. But and I think Alexandra Solomon said this, you're going to have conflicts with everyone. It might not be the same type of conflict. Something inevitably is going to come up. Inevitably.
So I feel like our listeners are getting energized by this yeah. conversation and being like, okay, bring on the conflict. What do I do? Now we need the tools and the skill set mm-hmm. to have these conversations. And this is what this episode is all about. We've got Sandy Weiner, who is a communication specialist. She also has a podcast. You'll hear mm-hmm. all about her on this episode, but she will give you the tools of addressing conflict and working through that, which is phenomenal.
And she's trained in nonviolent communication. And she actually talks about her own personal life, too. I love when yeah. experts will go into their own, because she admits like she wasn't great at communication in her marriage. And that was a big part of why it ended. And I think sometimes you kind of have to hit rock bottom with certain things to like make that conscious change of being like, I need to actually really focus on communication. Like, this is a problem. This is something I didn't learn in school. This is something I didn't have good role models for. Like, I need to be proactive and figure it out.
Right. And we should forgive ourselves. Nobody is born a good communicator. The default is we're all bad communicators. And it is up to us to work our way up to good communicators. So you're just at the default if you don't think you're a good communicator. It's okay. Exactly. Just work your way up.
But you got this. You got this whole 60 minutes. There you go. Step one. And then, you know, this is like the week of communication for us. I didn't mm-hmm. realize this. This was kind of like a by accident thing that happened. But for anyone that's been with us for a bit, you've heard us mention the Sounding Board, our community, our premium community, where we have events, but we also give a bonus audio every month. And it's mm-hmm. really like the audio, and UA and I feel so bullish about this, that these are the types of things that really make you dateable. Like, you can fix up your profile all you want. Not saying you shouldn't do it, but at the core of it, it's like the communication piece. Like, that is so important. So we actually have a bonus episode this month that's all about communicating your needs, which mm. is like kind of taking this a step further in that. And there's going to be a discussion group next Thursday. So Thursday, June 10th.
Whoa, already?
Oh my God, I can't believe we're in June. Oh yeah, I know. Goodness. I was like, that isn't year. Right. When I was saying it out loud, I'm like, no, it yeah. is. Because we released the episode the first week of the month.
Holy
so
shite.
June 3rd, it will be out. And then we do the follow-up a week later while it's fresh. And people have just loved these discussions because they're like, where else can I freaking talk about anxiety? And everyone's like, I get it. And I'm supporting you. And I'm here with you. Like, there aren't really that many places you could do stuff like this.
No. No. Other than therapy.
This is like a form of therapy, cheaper than therapy.
Way cheaper.
Speaking of therapy, I feel like there was such an overwhelming response to last yeah. week's episode with most dateable Brian Clark. So giving you a shout out there. Also, want to address a really unfortunate thing that Apple is changing some ways that they bring out episodes. Oh. So I'm really hoping this like doesn't continue. But apparently we heard this actually from Frolic, our podcast network. Some other podcasters reported this also, is that usually Apple Podcasts like immediately shows the episode.
Out the episode, yeah.
But for whatever reason, this week it's been like a 24-hour delay. So some of you were like, hey, where's the episode? I just want to be assured that it went out. It should be there now. So if you missed it, hopefully this one will not have that same lag time. But definitely make sure to subscribe, because we we've heard that, or at least I saw even on my feed that like in the subscribed one, it was there, but in the like general search on the app, it wasn't. So make sure you subscribe. And then if it's not for whatever reason, you can always turn to Spotify. Personally, Spotify, I personally use just because I listen to everything else there, but it went out right away there. So hopefully this will get resolved.
Yeah. So this is a PSA to switch out of Apple Podcasts and go to Spotify. No. And this episode is brought to you by Spotify. Just kidding. But it's true.
That would sometimes be great if that was.
That would be the best transition. It's true. Sometimes you don't see that episodes right away, but we are very on time with our episodes and when we push them out. So if you don't see it that night, just go on Spotify. Try it. Just Google or whatever. Go on our website. Go to iHeart, any other platform, and you should be able to see
it. I think this, hopefully this is going to get resolved. Apple did like a major overhaul of its podcast app, which is super exciting. We're definitely still pro Apple, so don't want to feel like we're not. We know a lot of you listen that way, and keep those reviews coming. That's the second PSA. But we, if it's not there, I think definitely make sure you're subscribed. I think that's step number one.
Yes. And let's get those episodes out there. Julie, do you remember this mug? You've seen this mug.
Queen of freaking fucking everything.
Freaking? Did you just self-censor? She's like everything.
Queen of fucking everything. Like, I feel like that could get interpreted two different ways.
And I remember this because the first time you saw this mug, you're like, I want to take a picture of it for Dateable, for some of our promo stuff. And I was like, Julie, this has another meaning. I feel like you could be the queen of fucking everything, or you could be the queen of fucking everything.
I do not remember this mug at all. Maybe I'm losing it. I'm like blanking on this whole interaction, but I'm glad that you were able to pull it out for me again.
Whenever I drink out of it, I think of you. I'm like, is it queen of fucking everything or queen of fucking everything? It's both.
Maybe it's that both. Should be a merch slogan also.
Yeah. Well, talk about a communication mishap.
Exactly.
What do you really mean by that? But it is back toward the sounding board. It is not too late if you want to get access to our latest audio series all about communicating your needs. Just go to dateablepodcast.com/soundingboard.
Yep. And that's all levels have access.
Equal opportunity.
Equal opportunity.
So time to go to our dating advice segment, where we try to dole out the best dating advice we can possibly give from our 5 years of doing this podcast and talking to thousands of daters. We've collected all the data. And here's a question for all of us. So listeners, try to weigh in on this too. The question is, how do I communicate to someone that I'm really interested in them without sounding desperate? Yes. Ooh.
The D word.
I know. We got the V word. We got D word. We got the F word. We got so many alphabet words.
They all have different meanings also.
And we're going to lose track. And we're like, what was that word again? What
the
letter
J word is the journey. Yep.
Okay, you got them all. Journey. Without sounding desperate. So I think the word desperate also comes from one's own insecurity. Because I think what you may think sounds desperate probably doesn't sound desperate to the other person. It may just sound like flattery or a compliment. Yeah. But I think communicating your interests is all about it coming from your authentic self. So not communicating in a way like, I've seen this in rom-coms or reality TV shows. It's a grand gesture. It's like, I've really enjoyed spending time with you. And every time that we say goodbye, I can't wait to see you the next time. So I just want to let you know that I'm really enjoying our time together. I think that's a very authentic way to communicate your like
right.
for someone.
And for whatever reason, that's so difficult.
Why
for
is
us.
So hard?
I mean, that one I think is like the safest one because you're not even really saying that you like the person that much. You're just saying you enjoy the time together.
Yeah.
Super safe. But for whatever reason, it's still difficult. I personally think put it out there. Like, what do you have to lose? I think sometimes people too feel more compelled to give you those comments back in return when they feel like feeling the same way. They're open to receiving it, but they need like that person to kind of show the path. And you know what we've learned is not everyone's as dateable as you all are, because you guys are tuning right? in every week. There's a large population that is not, and shame on them, they should be, but they're not. And I think sometimes it might be on you that's been more evolved to just put it out there. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I think this whole desperate thing, like, who cares if they think you're desperate? Like, really, when you think about it, I don't actually think anyone would think you're desperate. I think they might just be like, oh, shoot, we're in a different place. Like, I'm not feeling what they're feeling. But is that really a bad thing? Wouldn't you rather know that than like think that like you're in this other, especially like, I'm not saying like confess your love for this person on like date number one, but saying you had a good time with them, like, is not that much at the end of the day. Like, it's not.
No, I feel like the word desperate comes around when, given a situation like this, for example, if you are constantly rejected by your the person that you want to go on dates with, and he or she is like, no, I don't want to see you, and then you keep telling them that you want to see them and that you're interested in them, that's desperation, because there's no reciprocity there. They don't want you back. So that's where desperation comes in. But if you're just wanting to tell someone you want to see them more and you like spending time with them, it can't be that hard, and nobody hates hearing that.
No. And I think that will like propel it forward. I think the problem with modern dating is everyone is so afraid to say anything that it just becomes this standstill that everyone's like, oh, is this person interested? Well, if they're not interested, I'm not going to be interested. And then what does that get you? Nothing.
Yeah, when both people don't want to say anything, nothing is said. Nothing and that's happens. Why you all complain about messages like, hey, you up? How's the weather? How's the weekend? Because nobody's trying to say anything. They're just saying things to say something. And that's where you get to stalemate. So if you want to move your relationship along, be that person. Be courageous. Step forward and have your person meet you there. And if they don't step forward with you, then they're not the right person for you.
Right. I mean, I think it's all about baby steps and reading the room. Like Yue said, don't keep doing something if someone's not giving you that response. But starting with something small, like you had a good time. Okay, now they're excited too. And you can feel, you know, when someone's like into it. Excited, you're making that next plan, you're like excited to see each other. At that point, then you could say something like, I really like you, I really enjoy spending time with you. Like, there's so many ways you could just like continuously build on it.
Yes. So let's make it a challenge for all of y'all who are listening, who may be in a situation where you're like, I really want to tell this person I'm into them. Get your phone out right now, find their phone number, text them this exactly: I've had a really good time getting to know you. I really like spending time with you, and I can't wait for the next time we hang out. Yeah. That's it. That's it. Done. You're welcome.
Done. Easy enough.
Just don't send it to the wrong person. You're like, damn it, I sent it to the dog groomer.
You never know. Maybe they're down with it also.
They're like, well, we love Mojo too. Can't wait for him to come back for his next grooming. Weirdo.
Just send it to your whole contact list all at once.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Make it's like it a contact roulette. Text.
Yeah.
Let's see who texts back. And your grandma's like, I miss you too.
Okay, this is a little bit of a tangent.
But oh, I know what you're talking about. The WhatsApp thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell people that story. I was just thinking that story. Do it. Let me drink out of my mouth.
So it was, I feel like I don't really use WhatsApp all that much, but it was when I was doing long distance with my boyfriend in the UK. So I was on WhatsApp all the time. Mm-hmm. And he was literally the only person I was messaging on there. So one day I get another message from like this number I didn't know. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. But I saw that there were like 30 other people on this group text. And funny enough, one of the people on there was one of our past guests. So I like weird. Saw one name come up in my contacts, but everyone else was just a random number. The guy had labeled the group, because you know how you can like label on groups? Yeah. He put it as prospects. So all the girls were like, who the fuck is this? And then we're like, wait, are we all people that he like thinks that he's like going out with or something? But the irony was, because people started saying this, because I'm like, I have no idea who this person was, and I wasn't dating because I had a boyfriend. And it turned out, like, a few people were like, oh, this is a guy I like met up with like 4 years ago. And I looked and I like saw his photo, and it like kind of came back to me. I don't think we actually ever even went on a date, but we had talked on a dating app like 4 years ago. But he like left the chat, which was the best. He left the chat chat, and then apparently a bunch of the girls went out for brunch. That's what the mutual connection told me, which I think is actually kind of funny.
This could be the most ridiculous thing one person could do, or the most genius thing one person could do. Imagine if there was a social experiment where you brought all these people in, all these strangers, to a room, and they had to figure out why they were brought there.
Oh, that kind of reminds me of that MTV show, like, Are You the One? Do you remember that? Where,
yes,
like, the one is somewhere.
Yeah, I still watch that show.
When I'm bringing up a reality TV show to UA, like, you know she's seen it, clearly.
I'm like, yep, uh-huh. I still live in that world. Thank you very much.
You're like, I'm planning on watching a marathon this weekend.
I'm watching it right now as we're talking. What do you know? Okay, but I think that should be more than enough to answer this question.
Absolutely.
How do you show interest without coming off desperate?
Awesome. Well, we're going to get into it, but quick announcements. I mean, definitely, actually, we were also on Sandy's podcast.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. So I want to shout that out. We were on Sandy's podcast, The Last First Date Radio, and we were on episode 454. Damn,
wow.
Sandy has a lot of episodes. And it was an insider's look into modern dating with Yue Xu and Julie Kravchik. So
that's the episode.
Very exciting. Yeah, if you're on YouTube right now, you're seeing it. If not, go to, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's all there. It's been up for a week now, so it's probably an Apple Podcast. So good to know.
There's a 62-hour delay.
Yeah. But definitely check that out. And then I think just other quick announcements, Love in the Time of Corona. That's our Facebook group. That's where, you know, we've had just really great discussions. Like every day, I'm just like amazed by the different diverse perspectives and opinions. And then the sounding board is always that's where the real magic happens. I feel like that's what I always say to describe it, but it really is true because people there are like becoming legit friends. And we actually practice a lot of the stuff, I think, with each other, like good communication, mm-hmm. vulnerability, like whatever is kind of
the J word, the V word,
yeah.
And not the D word.
The C word is another one that could be misconstrued as the communication. I feel like they're all like the clean version and the dirty version. It's basically like your mug is the same thing. but they all, I think it's a great place that you can essentially practice these skills. So it mm-hmm. becomes so ingrained in you that when you're out on dates, it's just natural. I think that's the place we want to all get to. And I think, like, I really think UA, for the two of us, part of the reason why we've grown is because we talk about this stuff so much. And it just, it's become second nature more.
Yes. We're still on that journey.
It's always a work in progress.
Yes, yeah. Always. But it's a journey that matters. That's it.
Exactly. Okay. So shall we get into a couple of sponsors?
Summer is finally here and we've been cooped up for so long. I feel like I'm taking every chance I can to be outside and exploring. So luckily, we found clamber shorts from Title IX. They're made out of super stretchy, abrasion-resistant fabric. They're basically indestructible. And thanks to a wide, comfy waistband and tons of pockets, we love pockets, I can wear them all day long, no matter what I get into. So I wore mine the other day, going from hiking to a park picnic, to the beach, and then to like an afternoon of just lounging around on my balcony. They're so comfy and versatile that I didn't have to change. I mean, they're basically badass shorts. We love that Title IX was born in the Bay Area, just like our show. And get this, they've been around for over 30 years, so they definitely know what they're doing. With everything from innovative swim pieces to bottoms that actually fit, every product is designed for women seeking out their next adventure. Right now, Title IX is offering our listeners $10 off and free shipping on orders over $100 when you visit title9.com/dateable. Go to title9.com/dateable for $10 off and free shipping on your order of over $100. That's TITLENINE.com/DATEABLE. This episode is sponsored by Pros. I used to think that having soft and healthy hair took way too much maintenance, so I sort of gave up, especially when my hair became super frizzy and wavy in my late 20s. Well, then Pros came to the rescue with personalized hair care products. First, you take an in-depth hair quiz with interesting questions around where you live, your diet, and your lifestyle. And I was surprised that they even factored in the LA pollution to my personalized formula. With over 50 billion formula combinations, Pros can give you a unique
unique blend of ingredients that caters to your every strand and follicle. Since using my personalized pre-shampoo mask, shampoo, and conditioner, I've noticed such a freaking difference. My hair feels softer and healthier. Prose is a healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair quiz and get 15% off your first order today. Go to prose.com/dateable. That's prose.com/dateable for your free in-depth hair quiz and 15% off.
Okay, so shall we hear it from Sandy Weiner?
Communication is a part of everyday life. When we're born, we communicate verbally and non-verbally. And when it comes to human relationships, it's arguably the most important thing to keep a relationship alive, I would say. Yet, we don't learn communication skills in school.
No.
We don't get degrees in communication. And then we're just thrown out in the world and people are like, here, go. Communicate. You'll be fine.
Or if we do get degrees, it's definitely not like interpersonal communication.
No.
Which is like, no one teaches you how to communicate in relationships ever.
Insanity, I think. But Sandy Weiner is going to enlighten us with some communication skills and just break down what communication really is. She is the founder of the Last First Date and the Woman Value websites. She is an internationally known TEDx speaker, dating and relationship coach, women's empowerment coach, author, and podcast. Relationship coach, women's empowerment coach, author, and podcast host. She's been featured in Mind, Body, Green, Psychology Today, The Good Men Project, The Chicago Tribune, Your Tango, and The Daily Buzz. She's the host of two podcasts, The Last First Date Radio and The Woman of Value podcast. She's 64 years old, currently lives in Stamford, Connecticut. She's been there for 25 years, originally from Atlanta, and she's single and actively going on dates. Hi, Sandy. It's a mouthful.
I'm actually 65.
Ooh, you just had a birthday.
Medicare birthday, yeah.
Medicare birthday? Amazing. Wait, when is your birthday? Was that recently?
April 14th, yeah.
Oh my God, we've been trying to schedule this for so long that you were 64 when we first had you fill this out.
You've grown a whole year. You've matured a whole year. Well, we're so glad that we finally got time with you, because this is a long overdue subject that we've been wanting to talk about for so long. So let's just get into, why do you think relationships can really benefit from communication? Why is communication just such an important part of it?
Well, like you said, it's everything. We do not learn how to communicate well at home, most of us. It's pretty rare to have a family that's direct communicators and kind communicators and really tune into our feelings. And we don't even know what feelings are. We don't know what our needs are. We don't know anything. And I know that for me, it influenced the choices I made in dating and the way that I dated, the way that I chose a husband. My marriage was filled with a lot of really bad communication. Mm. And so when I became a coach and got divorced, it was one of the first areas that I focused on. And actually, my ex-husband had a wake-up call at the end of our marriage and went to get help in his communication. And yeah, he studied nonviolent communication, which helped the end of our marriage the last 3 years. During the separation, it helped us to really be peaceful and amicable and talk. It was amazing.
So how did communication, if you don't mind us going into it, like how did communication like kind of show up in that relationship, ultimately ending it?
Well, stonewalling was a big one. Mm. So for everybody who doesn't know what that is, that's basically when somebody walks away from a conversation, shuts the door on you. So there was a lot of that. I remember trying to have difficult conversations and he was so conflict averse that we'd be like on a walk together and I'd say, I just want to talk about what happened. And he'd turn around and walk away from me and just leave me standing there. One of the hardest times in our marriage, we went on a cruise. So he was a comedian, by the way, and he was performing on the QE2. We were taking a 5-day cruise across the Atlantic from New York to England, and his parents were on the boat. that was a whole other layer of our marriage where his parents were very involved and he would go to them to talk about stuff rather than work things out with me. So we're leaving the city and I'm looking at the beautiful sunset over New York City and I say, "This is so beautiful." And he says, "Yes, I want to share it with my parents." And I said, "We're here together." And he left me on the deck as the boat was leaving. And that was the beginning of this trip. And I actually had a panic attack that night when I went to sleep. It was my first panic attack ever. And I think I just, it just, everything culminated. I was feeling trapped on the boat, feeling trapped in my marriage. And he chose his parents over me. It was just like, so I think that happens a lot. And people just don't have the skills to be able to be in conflict.
Well, I think the times I felt most anxious in relationships is when the parties weren't communicating. Like usually when you can just break it down and have a conversation, a lot of the stuff that's floating in our head goes away. But for whatever reason, it can be very difficult to like have that conversation. I think a lot of it, like I know it's something like a skill that I've had to actively work on throughout like the last like 10 years, like because it's something that I think a lot of us are afraid to speak up because we don't want to rock the boat or we don't want to like make things bad. But in theory, like actually having those conversations could make it a lot better.
Yeah. And so much is left to assumption. The stories we make up in our heads, man.
Yeah.
I see this all the time. A lot of the coaching I do is to take apart those stories with women who are making up, well, he didn't do this, so that means that. And it's like, well, how do you know that? So separating fact from fiction is a big part of our own process. So communication is on many levels. It's how we experience somebody else and the triggers that we have and the stories we make up, the assumptions. So there's yours, mine, and ours in any relationship. Mm-hmm. There's my stuff. Like, I'm always triggered when something happens. And so I need to work that out. Then there's your partner's stuff. Mm-hmm. And then there's the stuff that gets created between the two of you that needs to be worked out. Mm-hmm. So I had a situation once when I was dating a guy where we were dating for a couple months and it was a Saturday night right before I was launching a new program. And you probably know that when you're in the middle of a launch, you're not exactly relaxed and there's so much to do. And so I wanted to see him Saturday night, but I told him I couldn't stay over because I knew I needed a full night's sleep. And he did not take that well. He took it personally, but he didn't talk about it. So this was the first argument we had where he receded. He used to send me these cute little texts every morning with these like funny little poems. And the next day I got nothing. And so I waited a little bit and then I wrote to him, I miss your poem. And he wrote back. He started getting into why he was upset. And I said, "Hey, listen, let's talk about this tonight when we can talk on the phone." We lived about an hour from each other. So that's another step. It's like, don't have tough conversations on text and make sure you bring stuff up early on.
What do you think is the main cause of a lot of issues in relationships? Is it, because I'm hearing two main ones. One is this idea that we should avoid conflict. I hear couples being proud of the fact that they never fight. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Why do you never fight? Because people want to avoid conflict and they think that's a something to be proud of. Or is it the issue that we think we are mind readers and we're constantly trying to fill in the blank for our partner? Which one do you think is a bigger issue?
God, they're both really bad.
Maybe they go hand in hand because when you avoid conflict, then you stonewall and then you start making up stories about your partner.
Yeah. I mean, you can't stuff your emotions for a long time. People do it for, I would say months, years. They can implode and get sick. But whenever somebody says to me, "I never fight," I always ask, are they having honest communication?
Right. So back to you, Sandy.
Yeah.
Like, were you, okay, so like, obviously now you're, you know, you talk about communication, we're on this podcast, but you were talking about your marriage where communication was a big problem. Like, did you always view yourself as a good communicator or were there steps that you took to like practice and fine tune the skill?
I thought I was a good communicator. I thought I had all these great skills. skills, and I certainly had insight, and I was pretty centered. I could like look inward when there was a conflict, and I could sort of parse out what the issues were. But I really didn't know how to name my feelings or my needs. I did not know how to set boundaries. I didn't even know really what all my needs and values were. Like that, a lot of that came from coaching school. And when I really got clarity around how to understand my values. But the feelings and needs part came during the end of my marriage. When the process of nonviolent communication is, the first step is to take out all the judgment and all the stuff that we make up around the person. So that they call that the jackal. And when you first are triggered by somebody or you feel hurt, you're going to probably be name calling, what a jerk. Mm-hmm. You always do this. You'd never do that. Those are all ways that we sabotage the conversation. So we have to look at all that. What are we bringing to the conversation and clear it all away? And then we get to a clean observation. This happened. So let's take the thing where I didn't sleep over the boyfriend's house and he got upset. So he could have said, when you didn't sleep at my house, I was upset. Or you didn't sleep over Saturday night. That's the fact, right? There's mm-hmm. no feelings or needs attached to that yet. And then you go through, what was I feeling? And you go through a lot of feelings to see what exactly were you feeling? Because most of us have a very small vocabulary around emotions. Mm-hmm. And then we were feeling that because a need of ours wasn't mm-hmm. met. And once we can identify what those two things are, we can express ourselves much more clearly. And then you can make a request of the person. The next time this happens, would you be willing to do this? You know, and then you have a conversation, but you're not accusing and you're not name calling and doing all the bad stuff that happens in fighting.
So from a learning standpoint, are there different communication styles that we can break down now so we can attach ourselves to one or the other?
So I want to say they're not static. You can be one and you can become another. And really what you want to do is be the most high functioning communicator. So I created four archetypes and they're all animals. Mm. So the first one is the lion or the lioness, and that's the assertive communicator. And the assertive communicator can speak with confidence and clarity. She knows her core values. She doesn't play games. She doesn't manipulate. And she wants to connect. You know, she knows how to set clear boundaries with others. And it's a skill set that can be learned. Then there is the scorpion, which is the aggressive style. Mm-hmm. And the aggressor is really right or wrong thinking, always wants to win. She doesn't really feel the effect of her actions and words on other people. And she thinks that her opinions, needs, and rights are more important than other people's. And she wants to be seen, heard, and appreciated, but she doesn't know how to get valued without putting other people down or being the loudest person in the room. Mm. And let's see. The koala is the passive aggressive. This was an interesting one. I was trying to find an animal for the passive aggressive. I never knew that koalas are really passive aggressive.
Are they?
They look really cuddly and sweet, but they can suddenly lash out violently. Oh, wow. So that's that archetype. It's that, oh, I'm so kind and I'm just too nice. And really what they're doing is they're suppressing what's really true for them because they're massive people pleasers. Mm. And they may use sarcasm. They're indirectly aggressive, which I really hate. They're two-faced. They gossip a lot. They can be deceitful. And the puppy is the submissive style. She's the real people pleaser. She just suppresses her needs and mm-hmm. wants to make everybody happy and not upset anybody.
Oh, I was the puppy at one point.
What are you now, Julie?
Wait, what was the first one?
The lion or the lioness.
I think I'm the lion now. I feel like I've done a lot of work on communication, but it was something I struggled with for a very long time.
Mm. And what about you, Yue?
I feel like it depends on the context. Within a relationship, I would say I'm the lioness, but at work, I'm definitely the koala. Super passive aggressive.
I could see that.
Super nice. That is interesting because I do think that it depends on the context, depends on who you're talking to, and it depends on your partner in a relationship. I think I was definitely the puppy at one point with some of my previous relationships, but for my current one, I'm definitely the lioness.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It could be the person, but I think also it can be the self-work, because I actually like remember like when I revisited a past relationship, like he was like, wow, you've really changed like how you communicate. And I'm like, yeah, I've been doing this dating podcast for like 5 years now, you know? So it's like some of it does come out with just experience and working that muscle and being aware of it. Like, I think for me, a lot of it was stemmed from childhood too.
Yeah.
That like I didn't want to like, you know, like rock the boat. Like I wanted to just like, you know, make everything be okay and good. And I didn't like, because I think I didn't want to, I grew up with fighting and I did not want that in a relationship. So I did like the reverse 180 where I wouldn't have any conflict, but then I would just suppress it. And then I would get resentful because I wasn't actually like, because you can't never have any conflict, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I grew up in your house.
Are you guys related? Sandy, yeah, what animal are you?
I'm definitely the lioness now, and I probably was more a combination of puppy and koala. Mm-hmm. I was never the scorpion, because that was my family. It was a bunch of scorpions. And and there was also a lot of the passive aggressive in my family too. So there was yelling, but there was such unclear communication. And so we'd be screamed at for not doing something, but we had no idea we were supposed to do it because we were not mind readers. And so that, yeah. And I think just knowing what I didn't want was a lot of the motivation for who I became. But it's hard without the skills. I mean, every time I work with somebody new, and today I just started working with a new client who grew up in a home with very, very cold parents, which is also very common. And so she didn't get the love she needed, and she struggled to keep the peace as well. So it can be from either cold or hot parents. And we don't know how to get our needs met. And I think a lot of people feel it's mean to set boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and so when you don't know how to do it, and I teach a whole course on boundaries because of this work, it's just so important to learn how to say what you need to say and to say it nicely, you know, say it kindly, not be a pushover.
But I think that's why it's good that like we're starting to address that, because I think our parents' generation too, like, you know, just like you, like if we think we're uneducated with communication, like the older and older you get, like just more was stuffed again, like under the rug kind of thing. And looking in retrospect, like I certainly don't blame them. Like they were just doing their best with it. But I think the whole piece about like stating your needs in like a way that isn't mean or selfish. Like I think for a long time, I like felt like it was selfish to state my needs. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the area that my ex saw the biggest change in me. It wasn't necessarily that we had conflict. It was that I was just more like, this is what I want and this is what I expect, opposed to expecting him to be a mind reader. And I think some of it too, I think stems from like, you know, like romantic comedies and like bad like dating books, that it's like, if they really loved you, they would know what to do. And that's just not always realistic,
it's
right?
It's like magic. When you're in love, you just communicate so
exactly,
well.
Exactly, telepathically, right?
There's so much truth to that. And I think also we tend to see the world only in our way. We don't really see the world in the way the other person does. And that's another big piece of growth. When I was having conflict with my daughter after the divorce, I hired a coach, a relationship coach, to help me with her. And I worked with her alone, but she had me draw a triangle on the ground, which I love this exercise. So you draw like a, you know, just an imaginary triangle. And one point of the triangle is you. The other point is the other person. And then the top of the triangle is the relationship. Mm-hmm. And so you first stand in your position. So you're doing this alone and you're saying what the issue is. Then you go in the other person's position and you try to see it from their point of view. Mm. And that was like, wow, I never saw it that way. And then you look at it from the relationship perspective, who you are together. And so it's fascinating to do this, because I was able to see that I was expecting her to be me, you know, and to mm-hmm. see things the way I saw them and to put things away the way I would put things, you know. And it's, we get so angry, we take it personally when somebody doesn't do what we want.
Right.
And so if you just say it kindly, and then if, like, if you're dating somebody and you say it kindly and you ask for what you want and they keep ignoring you, or they say, oh, you're too sensitive, or you're right. too anything.
Right.
You know, and I always say, if somebody says you're too something, it means you're too much for them. It's not
yeah.
that you have the problem. They have a problem with you.
But I think that's important, though, because if you expect people to be mind readers, you're not even giving them an opportunity to, like, react in any way. So, yes, like what you just said, if someone's, like, putting you down or, like says they're going to do something and then they just continue not to, at least that's a data point. But if you never ask them in the first place, like, they can't kind of expect that they would just know that.
No.
Yeah, we expect that in relationships a little too much. And I think that yeah. is the crux of all the dating problems and issues, is that mm-hmm. even in the beginning of, like, when you're just texting or messaging back and forth, there's a lot of, like, misread messages and misunderstandings, because you're just putting them in your shoes, like, oh, this right. is why I would say it like that.
Right.
And when you really don't know, they're mere strangers. And we think we forget that when it comes to dating. You're meeting a stranger.
Let's take a quick break from this incredible conversation all about communication, learning so much as we speak, for a few messages.
This episode is brought to you by Z-Man Games, an array of fun games for adults, one of which is called Love Letter. Now, in this card game, your goal is to win the heart of the noble princess who is looking for an ideal partner and confidant to help with her royal duties when she one day assumes the throne. Your goal is to enlist the characters in the castle to deliver your love letter while keeping other players' letters away. It's trickier than it sounds. Powerful cards lead to early gains but make you a target, and rely on weaker cards for too long and your letter may be tossed in the fire. I find it to be a fun and nice 20-minute mental break during the day. This 2-6 player card game fits in your pocket, so you can take it with you anywhere. Love Letter is appropriate for ages 10 and up and is available for $11.99 through Z-Man Games. You can find it at Target, your local game store, or directly through Z-Man's web store. Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth, research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of, like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
So I feel like the love languages was kind of like a good way to yeah. like see how different people, like, you know, showed love and took in love. But I feel like there needs to be something for communication styles, even more in a way. But I guess, okay, so the three of us were able to identify ours pretty easily, probably because we've been thinking about this a lot. What about the average person that, like, might not know which animal they fall into? Like, what are ways that they can, like, identify their patterns and their communication styles, and then also their partners, if they have a partner?
So I have a quiz that will be up on my website by the time this goes live, and I'll give you a link to that, and so people can really go through and see where they come out. And not only does the quiz help you identify your communication style, but it tells you why you became that way and what you can do. Like, what are the character traits? Who becomes a puppy? The puppy developed this style because he or she grew up in a family that probably didn't honor her for who she was, but what she did. Like, she had to prove who she was. And she learned that through pleasing others, she'd be appreciated. And when she spoke up in the past, she was put down and told she was too sensitive or too loud or too something. Right. So often, and it can be a loving home. So I had a client who was brought up in a home where a parent was ill, and she had to suppress who she was in order not to upset her mom. And, you know, so she became the straight A student who had to be perfect and ended up marrying a narcissistic man and didn't know why. And so, you know, it's clear, but throughout therapy, they never connected the dots as to how she became a codependent. She said, "My parents loved me so much." Yeah, they did, but you had to not be you. So when we aren't allowed to fully be us and be honored for who we are, we end up with some of these dysfunctional communication styles. And we protect ourselves by hiding parts of who we are. I mean, I definitely was quiet because I didn't want to be judged. So I think we do these things to protect ourselves and put up these shields.
And once we know how we came about this communication style, is communication style similar to schemas where it's just the way you are and you just have to learn to cope with it? Or is there like a North Star animal? Is there like the dolphin? We should all be working towards becoming the dolphin or something like that.
I think it's like attachment styles a little bit more than the schemas. Because attachment, like let's say you have an avoidant attachment style and you tend to shut down when you're in relationships and avoid intimacy. You can learn how to be a more secure attachment style in many different ways. And it's the same thing with communication. You can learn to get clear on your values and your core needs. You can stop saying yes when you mean no. Like, the boundaries really help a lot with any of the codependent kinds of communication styles. And you stop doing favors for people. Like, that's the yeses all the time. Yes, yes, I'm so nice. You're not so nice. You're depleting yourself and I don't want to be around you. You learn to accept feedback and give feedback. Like, I joined Toastmasters, and part of Toastmasters is speaking up, but it's also learning how to give and receive feedback. Mm-hmm. And in the evaluation process, I mean, that's a big part of asserting yourself and becoming a lioness. So a lot of people, when I hear people give evaluations, they only say nice things. Yeah. And then they kind of relay the entire speech. And that's really not very effective or valuable. No. But when you tell somebody, just like you would say in a relationship, this is the part that worked, and here's where I think you could really grow even more. Here's some areas of improvement, and you hone in on those things. That's going to be a lot more valuable than hearing your speech, you know, given back to you. And the same thing with when you're in conflict. You know, I really care about you, and here's what's not working for me, or this is making me uncomfortable. So learning scripts, learning how to say things, even at the beginning of the dating process, like you said, being able to let a person know, like, if you don't like texting, say, I don't like texting. I find it really a hard way to get to know people, and I'd love to get on the phone. Does that work for you? And there's a way to say these things where it's not like, you know, what the hell are you doing texting me so much? Or
Right. It's all how you say it. I think that's what I've learned over this is, like, I think before I thought conflict equaled yelling and getting upset. And I think it was actually Alexandra Solomon that we had on our podcast that really, like, cemented for me that, like, every relationship has conflict because you're two people coming together with different worldviews and ways of processing things. And it's how you say it. Like, if you could say it in a calm way versus, like, a heated way, and again, every scenario is different. There may be a scenario that's not possible, but I think the more we can, like, bring conflict with love, that's like, because, like, some of it's just like how you say it, you're going to get a response a certain way. Like, someone's going to feel defensive or, like, whatever it may be. Like, I think it's how you say it is so important.
And the intention, like what you're saying right now, it's if your intention is to connect more deeply or to get to know somebody better, let them know up front, I'm having this conversation with you because I care about you and I want to get closer to you. That takes away so much of the scariness and the defensiveness. which is another one of those terrible ways of arguing, the criticism, defensiveness, stonewalling, and contempt are the four ways, the four worst ways we can argue, because they shut the door in your face. It's all right or wrong thinking instead of, I actually want to get closer to you.
Right, right. Because I think the fight, it's like me versus you, there's going to be a winner and a loser. And that mentality is just setting you up for failure by getting into that.
Exactly.
How do we restructure our thinking around confrontations? Because I think in all the examples you've given, some people would classify those as confrontation when you're stating your needs. How can we get people around that mindset that it's not a confrontation? And if it is a confrontation, doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing.
I would use the word conflict resolution.
I like that.
Because you're really trying to resolve the issue, not have conflict. I think that people are really afraid of the big fight. And like you said, Julie, it's because the way that we've experienced conflict has been all the worst ways. You know, it's just the yelling and we feel attacked. It feels violent.
Right.
And that's why nonviolent communication is a way to get closer and to connect. It was actually created to have peace among gang members and warring countries. I mean, this is where this whole process started. And if you can take gang members who hate each other and find common values, because that's really where we connect. If you look at most couples, they really do have the same goals, the same values. And it's how we express it that's different. So if we can find a way to bridge that gap and say, okay, we both have the same needs, let's find a way to make it work for both of us. You both have to be willing to do it. But I think that that's a way to make peace and bridge those gaps.
So outside of like taking your quiz, which I fully plan on doing with my partner also, but like, how do you like start to understand where they're coming from a bit? Because here's an example that someone in our community gave, that she's dating someone and he's a little less direct. Like he's more abstract. Like he would say, like, I want to talk more. But to her, she's like, does that mean talk on the phone, text, see each other? Like, what is that actually? Yeah, like exactly. Like, what does that actually mean? She's like, it would have been better if he just came out and said, I would like it if you called me at the end of the day every day. Like, how do you like kind of manage these two that are different? Like, that's not even a conflict per se. That's like it's a mini conflict, but it's not like what you think of as like a blowout fight or anything. But it's like these little stressors of just two people coming at this in opposite viewpoints. Like, how do you reconcile those?
I would say curiosity is the key. Okay. Always ask questions. So if somebody says, talk more, what do you mean by that? It's a simple question. Because if you start guessing, you're going to make yourself crazy. Mm. When I talk to my mom, I'm constantly trying to figure out what she's trying to say because she leaves out a lot of words. So I'm like, okay, I think that means that. I'm not sure.
Right.
Did you mean that?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, Mom. You just left out a whole piece there. So it's hard for me to make that leap. But I speak up and ask for what I want. So, I live with one of my children who communicates in a completely different way. And pretty much everything I say is taken out of context. And so it's like, I have to not get triggered by that. It's been really very challenging. But what I'll do is I'll take a breath and center myself. And then I'll ask her, what were you making up there? Because, and that's another thing is like, we make up stories. So Brene Brown says, the story I'm making up is. And that's a great way to start a conversation too. You know, just ask questions. I think it's like, tell me more. What do you mean?
I love the Brene Brown, like, this is the story in my head, because I feel like it's such a great way to phrase it too, because it's not putting it on your partner. It's putting it on yourself. Yeah. And I think ultimately, like, yes, I mean, like, someone can say something that offends you, but at the end of the day, it's how you are processing it. And all we can do is share that and then have them learn from that. Like, again, back to people not being a mind reader. But I think if you went into that and being like, you know, you never text me or you never call me. Like, that's like a very different vibe that's going to just elicit a response back that's not like a conversation.
Right. So the "you never text me" is more of a Scorpio kind mm-hmm. of approach. Mm. It's an accusation. It's not a request, right? So it's, and it's not direct. It's indirect. And now I'm feeling shamed. Right. And so break it down. Like, what do you want? And I think for anybody who has any communication style, to just take a moment and ask yourself, what do I want? How can I express that? And it's a me thing. I can say what I need.
How do we get people to truly state their needs? Because yeah. in the scenario that we just gave, the need is not they want to communicate more. What I'm hearing is there's an underlying need of, I need to feel more secure in this mm-hmm. in this relationship. But I don't think people come out and say that. Instead, mm-hmm. they say something very trivial. I wish we yeah. talked more. So how do we get people there? Communicate their needs.
Well, so I give my clients from the nonviolent communication has a list of feelings and needs on their website. Mm-hmm. And it's a good place to look, because the charts, you look through the charts and you start to really feel into it. And the truth is that our thoughts and our feelings are very different, but we often confuse them. Mm. Our body really knows the feelings. And that's why nonverbal communication is so important, because often we'll say something, but our body is something yeah. else. Like it's yeah. tightening up and it's our, you know, our brow changes. So, you know, get the first place to do is check your body. Like, when this is happening, what's happening in your body? Because a lot of people really don't know how to name anything. So I'll always have clients just go, is the tightening in my chest when I feel anxious? Mm. Shortness of breath. I'm clenching my fists. My jaw tightens. Like, they can start to understand the trigger points in their body to help them now articulate a feeling. Mm. And then you can, I mean, there are many different sources for feelings, but it's good to get charts and that list feelings and mm-hmm. needs, so that you can have a bigger vocabulary. And a feeling is always connected to a need. So you're right. Like, if somebody's not getting texted enough, they're feeling insecure. They're feeling a need for connection, a need for to be closer to that person. And it's vulnerable, because maybe that person doesn't want the same level of connection that you do. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't name any of this years ago. But with the boyfriend who wanted me to sleep over, I said, you know, in this relationship, we both have to honor each other's needs. And I can't stay in this relationship if we're not going to do that. I just had a need for sleep. Right. It wasn't about you. And I just need to know that you're okay with that, you know, and that you're mm-hmm. not going to judge me or take it personally when I need to take care of myself. Right. And that was a conversation I could never have had earlier, because mm-hmm. I didn't know. I didn't even know that I needed sleep. I probably wouldn't have gone with sleep. I would have given up my sleep and then been a bitch the next day. So it's knowing. Also, like, take some inventory of your own needs. And I think it's one of the most important places to start. During the day, I have people go through the day saying, will this feed me or drain me? Mm-hmm. You know, and that includes what you're putting in your mouth, what you're, the phone calls you're taking, the meetings you're saying yes to, anything that you do. You really have to start understanding if you're overdoing, overgiving, overextending, which is a big reason why people communicate poorly.
Mm-hmm. I love this digging into the deeper need that's happening. Yeah. Like, is there ever a situation where two people's communication style just clashes, like that they can't work through it?
Yeah. I mean, I think if so, all the relationships that don't work are usually often with, I would say, like a scorpion and a puppy, or a scorpion and a koala.
Or a scorpion and anybody.
Anybody.
That just sounds like a freaking nightmare.
It's true. So let's say there's a situation where one of my clients said the guy was moody. He was moody when he didn't get his way, which means he was controlling. And he always had to have his way. But because she couldn't articulate it, she would try to take care of his moods and make him feel better. And so that's the caretaker, so that's the childhood crap that we have to work through, all that trauma. And so when you recognize, okay, I'm trying to fix somebody who's not fixable.
Right.
And so yeah, in those situations, it's really hard to be with somebody who's a Scorpion. Unless they become aware and they go for therapy themselves, just get the hell out of that relationship.
Right. It sounds like the other ones, like you can kind of, like I'm thinking back to this example about like the calling or texting.
Yeah.
Like that could have been like if you're kind of a skilled communicator, maybe that's something you could even take on if your partner's not there to be like, what is the deeper thing that's going on for you? And like try to like reframe it. Like, are there any other techniques, like if your partner just isn't there? Let's say, you know, all of our listeners are super dateable. They're getting there. They're listening to this right now. Like, what do they do if their partner is just not in the same place?
Not in the same place as they like, are in terms
as, like,
of
communication, like honing in on their communication skills without totally calling it. Like, I mean, obviously that's like worst case scenario, but like what can they do to try to make it work if they're just like not, they're having more conflicting styles?
I would just get really vulnerable, you know, and just say, I'm really sad when we can't talk. Mm. I want to get close to you and I feel that there's a wall up. And is there a way that, you know, maybe are you not feeling safe opening up to me? Like really just get into the, you know, the granular part of it, because I think that when we get really vulnerable and we just take that guard down, it's a place where somebody can open to. And usually what we do is we keep our guard up because we don't want to get hurt. And so it's a hard thing to do, but I think we have to take those risks, because otherwise two people just keep colliding and it can be a year down the road and you're just missing each other. And, you know, and going back to attachment styles, like if you're dating an avoidant and that person doesn't feel comfortable opening up ever, it's just never going to change. It's not going to grow unless you're really open with that person and say that I can't continue unless you open up more. And maybe we need to go to therapy together. You know, I had a client who asked her boyfriend to go to therapy and, or even just do a couple's weekend or do something. And he just said, no, I'm not doing anything.
Right.
She walked away.
Right. But at least you like tried in that
she
case.
She tried. Yeah, she tried.
I like how you phrased it too, about like, I, like it came from like yourself, not like you were doing something wrong. Like you brought the you in later to have it as a collaborative conversation, but it didn't start with you. And I think I've read a lot of like communication books and like how to like phrase it. And I think the starting with your own feelings is a really good way that makes people not react on the defensive.
Absolutely. And here's a little tip about talking about your feelings. If you say, I feel that, or I feel like, you are not stating a feeling, you're stating an opinion. Mm. So I feel like you didn't come to dinner on time.
Right. Well, that's basically you, but just turned into an I statement.
Exactly. It's true. And people do it all the time. It's like, how did you feel about that? Well, I felt that he really didn't treat me well.
Right.
That's not a feeling.
Right. Right.
But most people talk like that. They're using the feel word. And so they think it's feelings. So we have to get
interesting.
Right. And so just catching yourself.
I love that though. Cause I mean, I never stopped to think about it. And like I said, I've read a lot of books about this stuff, but I think you're right. Like people could fall into the trap of like, I'm saying feel, but like, I'm not really doing that, instead of really getting to that deeper root of like, what is it that I'm feeling? I'm feeling insecure. I'm feeling like, I don't know, whatever you're feeling in that moment.
So good rule of thumb is if you start a sentence with I feel, it needs to end with a feeling.
Yes.
I've definitely been guilty of this. I said stuff like, I feel like you suck at this. And that's probably not a feeling. That's just a fact.
It's just the same. It's just a fact. So if you had to leave people with like one tip of like how to be a more effective communicator, I know this is a broad question because people are coming at all different levels, but like what would be like one kind of universal truth you would give?
Mm. The curiosity word just keeps coming up for me. I think really ask questions. We make so many assumptions about people. And I think if we just say, what do you mean by that? Tell me more.
Right?
I even when somebody says, I need space, what if you found out what space meant?
Oh,
what if it meant a week off because my mother's sick and I need to go to the hospital versus this is kind of a breakup and I'm afraid to break up with you. And what if people could just be honest and just like, I really want to know because I'm going to move on if it's scenario number two. If it's scenario number one, I'll be here waiting.
Right.
You know? And so if we could just...
I hate that phrase. I need more space. Nobody should ever use that. That was almost the demise of my relationship at the beginning of COVID when my boyfriend said, I need space. And I packed up all my shit. And I was like, I'll give you all the space forever and ever. And he's like, no, I meant for like an hour. You know?
But then that one, okay, so you had a very strong reaction. What would that be in this? That would be the Scorpio coming out?
Really? Was I the Scorpio?
Well, you were being defensive. You were just shielding yourself. Okay, I'll give you all the space you need. It's a little passive aggressive, I think. Yeah. It's a little sarcastic.
Oh, some more, the koala still.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't trying to be right. I was just like,
that's true.
Fine, I'll give you space.
Yeah, I'll give you all the space in the world, douchebag. Yeah. I feel that you are a douchebag. Right.
That's not in the list.
So not to turn it on you, Yue, but how did you get over that then? Like, how did you move it from koala to, I know you did, but like, how did you get over like not being the koala in this circumstance?
Well, I think it goes back to what Sandy's saying is leading with curiosity and asking more questions. When he said that he needed more space, I did not clarify. I was just like, I wasn't like, hold on, let me check. What does this mean? I was more like, fuck you. You don't love me anymore. You don't want to be in this relationship. I'm out of here. And I packed up my stuff and I went back to my own apartment for the weekend. And during that weekend, I was like, hey, I never stopped to ask, what does more space mean? And so I did call him, not very like me because I'm so prideful. But that Sunday, I called him and I was like, hey, I just really want to talk about this. I never clarified what space meant. And he was like, I used the wrong word because what I really want to say is we should really share in the responsibilities of this household. And I feel like I'm putting in a lot to like taking care of you, but I just want it to be an equal partnership. Different than wanting space, but that's how it manifested for him. But this is so typically me until this relationship. And Sandy, what you said about just like making up stories and stonewalling, that was me for the last like 39 years. You know, it's just all of my relationships ended like, well, fine. You know, if you didn't do that, then fine. I'm out of here. And this is the first relationship where someone called me out, was like, that's not how it works. Like, that's not how adult communication work. Helps that he went to therapy first. So yes.
But I love that. And that's what I mean. It's like, if you have a good partner who's going to call you up in a kind way, like call you up to your higher self, not call you up like to your lowest self, which is what a lot of people do. But, and that was one of the reasons I married my husband, actually. That was one good thing that he did, was he called me up in many ways. He wanted to really deal with stuff. And, but then it all changed once we got married. But I was attracted to that. And I realized that all my life, I was attracted to people who were really clear. Like, we had a therapist for my children once, a play therapist, and she was so clear about her standards. Like, you came in, you had to take your shoes off. You're not allowed in the therapy room. You have to pay in advance. Like, it was, everything was laid out. It was very clear. So I adapted all of those things as I got better at communication in my business as well. Like, my contract is clear. I have a very clear first session with a client about what to expect. And here's how we're going to design our relationship together. I think every couple should do that. Here's what you can expect from me. I'm probably going to screw up here. You know, can I curse? Yes, you can curse too. I mean, really, just saying stuff and putting it out there. And we don't talk about stuff enough. You know, even I asked a boyfriend once, how might you sabotage this relationship? We had been on like 3 dates and he was like, what are you talking about? I said, well, we all do stuff to sabotage. Yeah. So I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours so we can know what to look for.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
This is why communication is such an important topic. And I'm so glad we were able to like devote an entire episode, because I feel like over the last 5 years, I think one of our takeaways in pretty much every episode is like open communication, like communicate more. Like, that always comes up. Like, the example that you both gave basically, like with this, like if people are not good communicators, that's when things just dissolve. Because I could totally see the example, like UA, you said, like if you stormed out somewhere, why would someone like even question it? If they're not trained to question it, they're just gonna be like, oh, she's done, so I'm done. It's like always like an ego thing. So I think we should transition to takeaways, because it's been such an amazing conversation. But I think the one that keeps standing out for me, and we always say this, is the why, the three levels of why, digging deeper. And I think whatever someone says as kind of the problem that's going on, how can you take it like two levels past that to like, what is the core thing that's happening for you and then for them? And I love the other kind of big takeaway I have is there's always three people in this relationship, you, them, and the relationship. And I think that's really important to like think about it as a team. Like we're not going head to head. We're not trying to win this fight. You know, like we have the common goal of making this relationship work and loving each other and being there for each other. And how can you use conflict and communication to relay that instead of you suck, you're like, you're not meeting my needs, whatever it may be.
Right. So I love this visual of the triangle because you've got you on one side, your partner on the other side, and the goal, which is a common goal at the top, which is an uphill. So it means that it's still going to be a challenge, but you're both trying to walk uphill. Nobody's trying to go downhill from here. And I think we forget that in relationships. You enter into relationships and dating because both people want it to work. Even if it's a first date, second date, before a date, everybody goes into communication or connecting with someone else wanting it to work. So it's good to constantly ping pong back and forth between what it is my partner wants, step into their shoes, and then how can I get my needs met as well. The other takeaway I have is I feel like we jump to conclusions so much, but then the way we communicate with kids is so different because we just assume they don't know everything. So we over-communicate. We're extremely empathetic and sympathetic to kids, and we're caring and we're kind. Why don't we talk to adults in the same way? I feel like I have way more patience talking to kids because I'm like, obviously, they don't know what this means or what I'm going through, but we should approach relationships in the same way. Obviously, they do not know what's going on in your head because they are not you and they're not psychic and they cannot read your mind.
Yeah, I think mind reading, ego, and pride are the demise of relationships, right?
That's another demise triangle. You've got
exactly. The three pillars of ruining a relationship.
Ego, pride, and then mind reading at the top.
There's another great analogy between, I love the child analogy, and coming in actually as a child into a relationship, bringing that sense of play and openness is so important, but also looking at other people in a dating situation as if they're from another planet. And just like, I know nothing about this planet. Yeah. And I'm coming in and I'm so curious to know everything, but I'm not going to assume anything because I know nothing. And I think coming in with that beginner's mind of like, here I am on a planet I know nothing about.
Yeah, I think that's so important because I think a lot of times too with communication, we take the past, whether that's our upbringing, whether that's a past relationship, like, oh, it's happening again. But you don't know if it really is happening again because it's a new person. So I think the ultimate takeaway of this whole thing is stay curious. That is definitely the biggest thing. Bring curiosity to every conflict and communication.
And just everything in life. It'll help us with everything in life. Just staying curious. Thank you, Sandy, for being such a wonderful guest. And thanks for having us on your podcast. We had such a lovely discussion. I can't wait for people to take your quiz because ultimately what I would love to do either for a follow-up episode or bring you for one of our events is talk about if you are one of the animals, what do you do? What are the things that you need to be working on as a puppy versus as a lioness, right? Because it's going to be different, everybody's strategy to become better communicators. But thank you I feel like I am a 1 hour better communicator as a result of this episode.
For sure. And I'm gonna refrain from using I feel that. I feel like that is a takeaway for sure.
I have to give credit to one of my guests, Jocelyn Johnson, for helping me with that. Like I always knew that it was a judgment, but I didn't pinpoint it to the like and that. And it's like, whoa, that's so easy to catch. But I think we have to make some new merch that says stay curious, stay dateable.
Yeah.
Oh, stay curious, stay dateable.
I love it. I love that. We'll send you one of those.
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Sandy. I know we gave your bio earlier, but like if people want to like find you, what's kind of like a few ways that they can search you on the internet? The interwebs.
I'm in a lot of places on the interwebs, yes. But probably the best place is my website, lastfirstdate.com. And you can join my Facebook group, Your Last mm-hmm. First Date. Those are probably the two best.
And you're a member of our Facebook group too.
Yes.
Time of Corona.
Love it.
And Janice is a moderator of your group too.
I know.
So incestuous, you know, like swap our moderators. Another request for our listeners is while you're on the interwebs, might as well go to Apple Podcasts and give both of our podcasts a 5-star rating. It really helps us, one, bring you better content, two, bring you better guests, and three, stay sane through all of this and know we're working towards something that people are listening to and we're not just talking to ourselves. So Apple Podcasts, give us both of our podcasts a 5-star rating, maybe just a quick comment about why you love us. It is so helpful. I feel that it is very helpful.
Like getting those reviews though, reading those really does warm our hearts. So thank you for everyone that has. And for if you haven't, takes 2 seconds, drop us one. Very much appreciated.
Perfect. We're going to wrap this up.
Stay dateable. And communicative.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DatablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all of those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.